To God be the glory. You know, on our first birthday, as I said, you know, it's a huge accomplishment. It's a huge accomplishment. It's kind of funny when you drive down the street and you see a lot of churches. You never wonder, like I used to never wonder, like, how did this whole thing start? I mean, obviously, with what's there today, like, how did this whole thing begin? And we're at the very beginning of that movement. And I think the kind of church that God's called us to be is not just a building that stands there, but really God calls us to be the church everywhere we are, that we want to be sending missionaries out everywhere. We want to be impacting lives everywhere we are. We want to be making an impact for Jesus, because that's the church God's called us to be. And so this is just a small picture of some of the impacts that have been made as we've really pursued God's vision of connecting new people to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. As we say in our purpose statement, leading people to life, hope, purpose, and wholeness through Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to say, leading people to the Lord. And we're doing it in a fun way, as Todd talked about. But I'm reminded that today is really, what's happened at the fountain is not really our story, it's God's story. It's the story that God has allowed us to be a part of. Whether you've been here for 20 minutes or whether you've been here since the very beginning, you're a part of God's story that God is writing. And to think about all that God accomplished in year one has been awesome. And so before we move into year two, you know, I want us to come today, I wanted us to worship today, to remember and to celebrate how God is writing his story in the area, not just in our lives, but think of all the lives, the hearts and lives of people in this area and to the ends of the earth that are going to continue to be impacted over and over and over again. Those numbers are more than just a number that you see on the screen. Those are people whose lives have been changed forever. And they'll never be the same. And it's not because of the fountain and our work. It's because God has something special going on here. And so I'm thankful that you're a part of it. And so the message I want to share with you today, though, is something that I think you would probably never imagine hearing about in church. You can buckle your seatbelts. That's okay. Because what I want to share with you about it, I think, is very fitting for our first birthday. Today's message is called Dancing in Your Birthday Suit. Are you ready? Dancing in your birthday suit. And so if you have your Bibles, would you turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6? That's what we're going to be reading this morning. Let me give you just a little bit of background here and why we're talking about dancing in your birthday suit. Are you ready? It's the story of King David. And King David, when he brought the Ark of God, or the Ark of the Covenant, to Jerusalem. And so really he does so in a really interesting way that we'll read about in just a minute. And so just a little bit of background on kind of the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant, otherwise called as the Ark of God, was more than just a golden box that people brought in with a cart. It was filled with two tablets containing the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses and the people of God. Also other artifacts of faith. But more importantly, it was the throne of God. And so they were carrying around the throne of God. And so, and for the people, it represented the presence of God. And so when the people had the Ark of God in their possession, they would look and say, God is with us. God is here among us. We're here so close to God, this God who is so holy. But then when they didn't have the Ark of the Covenant, they would take that as a loss of God's presence. And so what's happened is the Philistines, which are the greatest enemies of the people of God, they had basically stolen, hijacked the Ark of the Covenant, and they had it for about 7 months. And suddenly, as they kind of kept the Ark of the Covenant around, which was God's presence, suddenly things started happening around their area where statues of their God started falling over and things like that. And finally, after 7 months, they're like, we don't want this anymore. This has real power to it. And so they shipped it back. They sent the Ark of the Covenant back to the Israelites. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 6, David has already been appointed to be king over all of Israel. And his plan is, hey, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, the holy city, so that God can be the very center of this nation. That's the heart of what they're wanting to do. And so they're so excited. And so David, in the beginning of 2 Samuel chapter 6, gathers 30,000 men to help him gather the Ark of the Covenant. It didn't take 30,000 men to carry it, but it was such a celebration. They had the presence of God with them. They were getting ready to bring God and put God on the throne in Jerusalem to say, God, you're in charge of this nation. Rule our nation, God. You are on the throne. And so when they first got there, they set the ark on a new cart, it says, as you can read that in verses 1 through 5. But I want to just pause there and say, for those of you who have been setting up every single week at the fountain for a year now, being rotated in and out, we're in good company, because the early people of God, they had to build their worship space. And really, they had a mobile worship experience. They had carts that they brought in their worship stuff. They even had a tent of meeting that was kind of like a bunch of pipe and drape being put out, that they would carry it everywhere they went, and when they would worship, they would put out this tent. And so I want you to know that we're in really good company in being a mobile, even a mobile church, that it kind of reminds us of the early people of God, even before Jesus came and before the temple was built. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 6, what's going on is David and the Israelites were so excited to finally have the Ark of the Covenant in their possession. They finally get to take it back to Jerusalem, and all of a sudden they begin worshiping like crazy. But on their journey with the Ark, David's excitement got a little bit out of hand. And so let's take a look at that. 2 Samuel chapter 6, I've already paraphrased part of it, but we'll start with verse 12, and you can remain seated. We'll go through a chunk at a time. So verse 12 says this: "Now King David was told, 'The Lord has blessed the household of Obadiah.'" Excuse me. Now King David was told, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he has because the ark of God." Kind of goes into this whole thing of God has blessed us. The ark of the covenant is with us. Look at the amazing things God is doing. So then it says, "So David went to bring up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps," if you have your Bible, underline that. "When they had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. Wearing a linen ephod, David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and all Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and with the sound of trumpets." We'll stop there and talk a little bit. But have you ever been so excited about something? Have you ever been so absolutely overcome with joy that you do some pretty crazy things because of it? You know, what comes to mind for me is grown men during the Super Bowl. Or watching your team, these talking about men, watching your team win the championship game. I'm one of those too. We haven't won a championship very much, the team that I follow, Tennessee. But it's one of those things where if you watch these, you can watch these big old burly men that maybe, you know, you would think like they keep it all together, real rough and tough. And once their team wins the championship, all of a sudden the decibel level and also the pitch starts to raise really, really high in their voice, and they start saying, "We won! You know, they start going really, really crazy and excited because they're, you know, so overcome with joy. And sometimes they start dancing around like a bunch of giddy third grade girls. And so it's one of these things where it's like, you guys do not, this is a lot of joy or something is crazy about you, because you can chest bump and sometimes hug people you never knew. And that's what comes to mind for me, being so extremely excited and giddy about your team winning the Super Bowl or a championship. And so when David comes, and he was so overjoyed and so thankful that the ark was being moved to Jerusalem, that he can't help but celebrate like a crazy person too. Now you feel kind of why David is so excited. This is the Super Bowl. We've won. We've been waiting so long. And maybe he gets that little high-pitched squeal as well. Like, we got the Ark of the Covenant. You know, I don't know how high his voice was. And suddenly David begins dancing in his birthday suit. He begins dancing in his birthday suit. And be honest, you never knew that was in the Bible. Or maybe you never knew that we would talk about that in church before. But he was wearing some clothes. It wasn't his complete birthday suit. He was wearing some clothes. He was wearing a linen ephod. And my wife Mandy said that almost sounds worse. So he was wearing a linen ephod, which is basically, we don't really know exactly what the ephod might have looked like. There was a lot of different kinds of ephods people would wear. But a very awkward word, I know. But some linen ephods would be like a waist belt or like a loincloth. Some of them would be had straps around the shoulders, and you would kind of wear it almost like a cape, you know, like Batman or something like that. And but it wasn't meant to be worn alone. You would always wear it over top of a robe or something. I mean, it was like, this is for decoration, David. This isn't for like covering up and modesty purposes, you know. And so David is wearing this, and maybe it wasn't even that bad of a attire. But suddenly when David begins to dance in this kind of attire, you can imagine where there might have been some problems when he was dancing before the Lord like that, dancing in his birthday suit. And so he was so excited. And the word dancing actually means twirling or twisting and whirling. So you could kind of just imagine with your imagination, or maybe don't go there, kind of what David was doing. And really, David wasn't trying to offend anyone. He was just so excited, and maybe he had worn the wrong clothes that day, and all of a sudden they have the Ark of the Covenant. He's just dancing before the Lord, and and all of a sudden you can see kind of why that might have been offensive. And so he was just so thankful, so joyful that he started worshiping God, and he didn't care what anyone else thought. Man, wouldn't that be a great way to worship? Not necessarily in your birthday suit, but wouldn't that be a great way to come to the Lord and say, I don't care what other people think, God, in this time right now, I want to give you my absolute devotion, my absolute praise, and maybe if I look like I'm a nut, God, it's for you. That's the way God's called us to worship. And so I want you to notice when David and all of Israel celebrate, there's a few times they celebrate. Number one, the first time was when David and 30,000 men that he had gathered, they all of a sudden they put the Ark of God on a new cart and they start going crazy. They start having a party and they start making sacrifices and worshiping and all this stuff. And the second time that he worships, it says while they had only gone 6 steps, they'd only walked 6 steps. And this wasn't like God, thank you for letting us take 6 steps. This was something where they started sacrificing animals. They started playing instruments. And they basically stopped everything they did and began to worship God when they had only taken 6 steps. And so I was just thinking, what would that be like in your family when you go to the beach or when you go somewhere on a family vacation? How might that look in your family? How long might that take to get to Disney World this summer if you stopped every 6 steps or every 6 miles? You know, and so there were probably people that were kind of looking at this situation with David and saying, David, what are you doing? Let's keep going, David. You know, the reason we're making such a big deal about our birthday at the Fountain, it kind of sounds funny that we're having a birthday party for our church, but the reason is we believe that God has called us to celebrate and to worship him every step of the way. Every step of the way. You know, it doesn't matter where we are in the journey, we believe in celebrating like we've won the Super Bowl when God has only taken us 6 steps. Now, we're a year old now, and that's a really good thing, but we're nowhere close to being the church that God's created us to be, where God has been laying the foundation, and to see what's going to happen over time is going to be awesome. It's something that I don't even know exactly what God's going to do, but I know when you're part of a movement, you can't tell exactly all the directions, all the little things that are going to happen along the way. We know the overall, but we know that God's going to make the details and provide the details. And for those who are looking for discernment right now, sometimes that's the best thing, is sometimes God just calls you to go. God just calls you to do. And you don't often have the details. When I was called into ministry, I didn't have the details of all the things I would be doing. In fact, if I knew that I'd be planting a church in an area similar to where I grew up or right across the street from where I grew up, I would probably say, no thanks, God. But God will give you the go or the do. And asks us to step out, and we have to trust that God, where God leads us, that God's going to carry us the rest of the way. Oftentimes, God doesn't provide the details when we first step out, but God clarifies it as we move forward. And so every step of the way, every step God's allowed us to take is important as a church. But most of us have this tendency, including me, this tendency to wait to celebrate, to wait to thank God when finally the mission is complete, or when the Ark is finally in Jerusalem, or when after working for so long, you finally get the promotion that you've been wanting. Or when a certain amount of people in the church world, for instance, give their life to Jesus. Then we say, well, then God, then we'll celebrate like crazy. Then we'll be happy and we'll be satisfied. But the thing is, it's like David didn't care what anyone else thought of him. He was willing to worship God in the moment, no matter where he was, taking every step of the way, not taking anything for granted. You know, people probably thought he was crazy for the way he was acting. And some might have turned to one another, like, 6 steps, David? And said, should we tell him we've only gone 6 steps? We got a long way to walk. You know, this is probably what they were thinking the whole time. And so David led the people of God to worship God throughout their journey, though. You know, this is one of the reasons why God made David king. The people had been looking for a powerful ruler, and they send this wimpy worship leader to lead them. That's what David was. He played the harp. He was a worship leader. And all of a sudden, God appoints him to be the ruler, to be the king of Israel, to lead the people. And there's a reason. Because our power doesn't rely on what we have in and of ourselves. The power of Israel and the power that David had was really the power of God living inside of him and trusting God and leading people to the presence of God so that their weaknesses may be made perfect. God's strength may be perfect in their weaknesses. And so this is kind of why David has been called by God. And so I want you to check out, you know, if you're willing to worship God in the small victories, you know, God will make you more appreciative of even the larger ones. So check out what happens next, verses 16 through 19. It says this. It says, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David. Now, first of all, I have to stop here. We have a staff member named Michael, so I have to watch what I say. But this here is a woman's name, so just know this. It's I'll just call her Michael, okay? So, as the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michael, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites, both men and women, and all the people went to their homes. And so not only did they worship at the very beginning of their journey, but they worshiped every step of the way. They worshiped along the journey, and they celebrated God's goodness. They even made some burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, giving their very best to God. You know, so when we come to worship God, God calls us to give our absolute very best devotion in our heart to him. And they even ate some cake to celebrate. So we're going to do that in just a little bit after the service. So this is what they do to celebrate. But everyone was so joyful, everyone was so excited, except for Saul's daughter, Michael. And really, she despised David. And when everyone else had their eyes gazed on the goodness of the Lord and celebrated everything he had done, Michael, the whole time, was focused on her hate toward David. She couldn't stand David. And you know, there are a lot of things that can distract us, can prevent us distract us from worshiping. You know, one sure way is to take our eyes off of Jesus, to take our eyes off of Jesus and to look look towards our preferences or what someone else is doing differently than maybe we would. And so in the middle of this huge celebration of God, here's what's going on. As they've worshiped God every step of the way, take a look at how David responds. 2 Samuel 6, verse 20 through 22. It says this. This is my favorite part, by the way. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, going around half naked in full view of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord." And check this part out. Verse 22. "I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." You know, Michael is like that person who can look at a Maui sunset and all the beauty of what's there and can pick out everything that's wrong with it. You know, if you ever met those Eeyore-type personalities, you can pick out everything that's wrong with that. That's what she is doing here. And so instead of being focused on the Lord's goodness and all the things that they have, they've got the Ark of the Covenant. They're getting ready to put God's presence back in Jerusalem. All she can think of is, rein it in, David. You know, don't get too crazy up in here. You know, she's just like, she's trying to pull him back and say, David, stop. And so there's nothing for David, though, that's going to hold back his worship. There's nothing that's going to hold back David from giving, I'm making myself laugh, I'm sorry, from giving his thanks and praise to the Lord and worshiping God with everything that he's got. And so with this passage, I'm reminded when he says, "I'll be even more undignified than this." I'm reminded of the New Testament when the Apostle Paul shares in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13. He says this, "If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you." In other words, if we look like we're crazy at times in the way we follow God, if we look like we're nuts sometimes, it's all because Christ's goodness and love compels us so much that it's so great that we can't help but be so excited about Jesus that it feels like we're at the Super Bowl. Sometimes God's love makes us look crazy. And if we are crazy, it's because if we look like we're out of our mind, if it looks like we're nuts, it's all for God. In fact, if it looks like we're in our right mind, it's for God. So that either way, God gets the supremacy. God gets the greatest glory that we have. And so this is really the approach David has. You know, David's almost saying to Michael, he said, look, you don't get it. You don't get it. If I look like I'm out of my mind, it's for the Lord. I'm not trying to put a display on for other people. I'm trying to worship the Lord with everything that I've got and to put my full self into worshiping him, because God has given me grace upon grace upon grace that I don't deserve, but yet I'm willing to turn over and say, God, thank you so much for everything that you've done, and to give God the highest praise. You know, when I played sports, I remember coaches saying things like, when we were at a crucial point in the game, crucial point in the ball game, suddenly a coach would gather us together and say, all right, men, or all right, boys, depending on your age, and say, I need you to dig a little bit deeper right now. I need you to give me even more. I need you to give me even more effort. I want you to give me even more heart. And really, this is kind of the model that David gives us as we close out year one. Not to get more effort, because we're saved by grace through faith, but for the way we're to respond in our worship. You know, David reminds us that our highest aim in worship is for the Lord. Not to just go through the motions, not to so quickly move on to the next thing and take for granted where we've been. Maybe you're there today. Maybe you've been taking a lot of things for granted, to where God has you, not only at the fountain, but I think this applies in our individual lives. Every step is important. God guides every step, and every step is a time that we can be appreciative and thankful for God. That David digs a little deeper in his heart and to give even more of himself to God every time he worships. And maybe he looks like crazy. Maybe he looks like a maniac when he's dancing in his birthday suit. But in light of everything that God has done, David's willing to worship God with everything he's got every step of the way. So how do you think we should respond to this morning? I don't want anyone to walk in here in their birthday suit. That's not the message here. Keep your clothes on when you come to the fountain. But maybe David has given us an important lesson, that maybe our worship can be a little bit more undignified. Maybe we can be even more crazy about God in the way that we worship. You know, the birthday suit on our first birthday is kind of an over-the-top example of the type of celebrating and joy that we should bring to God every step of the way. Not just at the end of the road, but at our first year and our second year and even beyond. And so instead of politely just thanking God, saying, all right, God, yeah, thanks for that. I mean, what would that look like? What would that look like if we were over the top with joy, even in our being undignified in our worship, not just at the end of the journey, but every step of the way? And so we're going to do this as the band comes up and everything. We're going to do this. And so I want to invite us to respond a little bit differently today. And we're going to do so by picture you're at a ball game. And this is like the most exciting ball game you've ever seen. If you don't like sports, it's something else that you like, a good show or whatever. But one of these things that, you know, I want you to think about the way God has impacted your life. I want you to think about the steps that God has taken you on and all the things that God has done to bring you to where you are. You know, maybe you've taken a lot of steps back and you say, well, I've seen God take steps to me, but I haven't taken steps. Well, think about that. Think about what God has done. And in light of that, I want us to get a little bit crazy, a little bit undignified for the Lord, if that's okay. And so I want to have a stand up, if that's okay. Let's all stand up right now. And just as an act of worship, just to say, God, we're thankful for the journey. We're thankful for the steps. We're thankful for where you've taken me. I want us to, as an act of worship, to just celebrate God like it's the biggest thing that's happened. Like God is pouring into your life, to celebrate what God's done every step of the way, to think about those steps. And as we, on the count of three, we're going to scream at the top of our lungs, we're going to clap, and this is going to be a way for us, for our souls to be woken up and for us to be reminded that God has taken us so far every step of the way, and we're so thankful for even every single step, even at year one, even when we take six steps, and even at the end of the journey. So on the count of three, let's give God all of our thanks and praise. This isn't a show for somebody else. This is just saying, God, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the steps you allowed me to take. So on the count of three, let's celebrate together what God has done. One, two, three. Woo! Amen. God, you're awesome. Thank you, Lord.